You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Welcome to the Roto Experts Saturday edition here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thank you for joining us. I'm Mike Blewett along with Corey Parson and Scott Engel. We're going to be taking you around the world of sports and the fantasy implications of the real world of sports for the next 3 hours. Lots to talk about, a lot on the docket. It's the time of year where we start to make transitions into other sports, but obviously this is really the beginning of Super Bowl week. The sort of pre-festivities are getting out of the way, but these teams are going to start to arrive in Minneapolis here in the next 24 hours or so. And Scott, we were dead wrong about the NFC, but we're going to look like we're going to get a good matchup here between the Pats and the Eagles in Minneapolis for Super Bowl 52.
Yes, good morning, my friend, and you know, Nick Foles played an incredible game in the NFC Championship. There was a great article on ESPN yesterday about how he had that terrific season in 2013, about how he's using the read option more and quick hits. And, you know, they actually went back to the film in 2013 and tried to resurrect a lot of those concepts. So a lot of credit to the Eagles coaching staff. That is excellent coaching right there.
Yeah, they did a great job, Corey. Foles goes 15 of 15, I believe, in the second half.
No, definitely a big-time performance by Nick Foles. I got to give a lot of credit to Doug Peterson, Frank Wright, and the whole coaching staff out there because, you know, you got a guy who is a backup quarterback. Coaching up a backup quarterback makes it kind of easier, gets him in good positions and stuff like that. Nick Foles definitely took advantage of great coaching last week.
Yeah, so Pats opened as 5.5-point favorites. I thought the money was going to quickly flow to them and push that up towards 7, but it has gone over the course of the first week the other way. Is part of that influenced by the fact that there's a multi-million dollar bet on the Eagles? Perhaps. But the Pats are now 4.5-point favorites with a 48 over-under, and that has moved up slightly over the course of the last week. So we're going to talk a little bit about that game.
Hey, Mike, they win all their Super Bowls by field goals. So By this time next week, it'll be 3.5.
That's the irony of this dynasty. People, there are certainly people more in New England that think the Pats have been steamrolling the league over the course of the last 15 years. And to some extent, they have. But when it comes to these Super Bowls, what we saw last year, what we saw against their games against the Giants, what we saw against the Seahawks.
They should have lost the last four. They should have lost the last four.
They could have lost all four of those games. They could have won all four of those
games,
too.
So, winning teams find ways to win.
This is true.
And losing teams throw the football on the 1 yard line with Marshawn Lynch in the backfield. Jeez,
but they won the week before.
We're off and rolling, Mike.
Losing teams have a Super Bowl drought since 1996. Has been franchised.
First segment with a
go ahead, Mike.
With a Daryl Bevel shot in the first segment. Yeah. So
Daryl Bevel's also got a ring.
We will talk about the Super Bowl. We're going to talk MLB today. We're going to talk whether or not Corey and Scott are even going to watch the Pro Bowl. And we'll even talk a little bit about the NBA and Boogie Cousins' injury, which is a brutal one. It's Scott, Mike, and Corey on the Roto Experts. Join us for the next 3 hours in the Saturday edition of the Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Sports Radio Network. Hopefully you listen to us on the Fantasy Sports Radio app, but if not, That's okay because you can catch us on TuneIn Radio, iHeart Radio, and a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country. So thank you for joining us on this Saturday morning. And if you want to reach out to us, you can do so on Twitter. At FNTSY Radio is the best place to find the content of where to listen to us. We'll also be doing some polls throughout the day. But if you want to hit us up individually, talk smack about the 2014 Seahawks or whatever it is that you want to do. At Mike Blewett is my Twitter handle. At the Fantasy Exec, EXEC, is Corey Parson. And Scott Engel is at Scott E Roto X. That's EX at the end. So, as Scott said in the last segment, Nick Foles played his tail off. They blew the doors off the Vikings. That was just one of those. It's 3 years in a row that the NFC Championship game has been a complete blowout. Just kind of an odd trend there. Falcons took out the Packers last year, and then I guess the Hawks was at, yeah, 3 years ago, Scott, or 2 years ago.
Carolina blew them up.
Oh, that's what it was.
These are the only playoff references Corey can make, by the way.
Just, yeah, Seahawk losses. Yeah. That's all he focuses on.
Yeah.
So,
by the way,
so
I do think Corey should watch the Pro Bowl because it's only opportunity to watch a Cowboy play after the regular season ends.
Mike, I'm not even going to get into it with him, Mike, so you can't, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to be a good student today.
Not get into it. You started it. I said absolutely nothing this morning.
Yeah, you did come out hot.
Now I'm going to finish
Corey,
it in the Greenwich Street Tavern League.
So there you go. That's the smack talk continues about Scott's victories and Dallas's lack thereof. So 38-7, we saw 38-7 blowout. The Pats obviously get the big win over the Jaguars. So here's an interesting stat for you guys. We'll talk about the game in a minute. But the Patriots, this will be their 37th playoff game since 2001. The Super Bowl will be, which is just a staggering amount.
America's
they are 12-9 in rematches from the regular season. So if they in the playoffs. So if they played a team in the regular season and later went on to play them in the playoffs, they're 12-9. They've played 15 times. They've played a team which is a new opponent for that particular season. So they haven't played the Eagles yet this year. What do you think their record is in the 15 games that they've played against teams that they hadn't faced in the regular season? In the playoffs,
I'm going to say 10-5.
That's a good guess, Corey.
15-0.
That is right. 15-0. They are 15-0 in those games. And Scott, it's interesting that you say 10-5 because the games, many of the games, are so tight. It could just as easily be that. Just
I didn't Google either.
A bounce of the ball here or there.
Yeah, he binged it.
It could,
I didn't look at anything.
Ultimately, they're 15-0, and I think it speaks to what you guys are actually talking about in the middle, in that first segment, about how tight these games can be. So, could they have lost those last four games, as Corey said, those last four Super Bowls? Sure. They could have won all four, too. There's a one play here or there. And I think, as evidenced by last week's game, they just really find a way to get it done. The Jacksonville Jaguars were dominating them in the first half, and they only came out of it up 14-10. The Jags only scored 6 points after the 7-minute mark of the second quarter for the rest of the game. They make defensive adjustments. They cause teams to go conservative when they have a fourth quarter lead. I think what's indicative of the Jaguars' hesitance with Blake Bortles really showed itself at the end of the first half there and
I think the end of the first half was key. I think the end of the first half was key with that
excuse me.
With that
kneel down?
Yeah. Yes, I'm not ill at all.
He has trouble talking about the Patriots at this point.
I think the delay of game call, I think they were going. I think Jacksonville was going to score on that drive, and then when New England gets the ball, that horrific pass interference call really changed. Yeah, that was a terrible call, and that put New England in position.
Let's stop all of this referee nonsense. They had opportunities to win, and they didn't.
You're right. They did. They did have opportunities to win, Scott. You're absolutely correct. They should have stopped Deion Lewis on 3rd and 12. They had plenty of opportunities in that second half.
Get a stop. But still,
before the half, look at the swing on that right there. You could go from 21-3 to 14-10, and that pass interference played a very big part in that. Going into the half like that, you have that kind of momentum. It's a different ball game, I think. That's all I'm saying. But, yes, Scott, you are correct. In the second half, Jacksonville had opportunities. That great defense didn't get it done.
No, they didn't.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all.
You know,
go ahead, Scott.
I'm sorry, Mike. It's just, you know, get a stop. You have two drives, right, late in the game where you can make a difference and win the game. You don't do nothing. You deserve to lose it. Everybody who's complaining about the Deion Lewis fumble, well, you know what? Don't go 3 and out after the fumble. So, you know, they didn't find a way to win.
It should have been a touchdown. it should have been a touchdown for Jacksonville.
Should have, could have, would have. You know, overcome that and, you know, score. They didn't even get a freaking field goal. They had 3 and out. That team cannot win with that quarterback deep into the playoffs, it was proven. And they didn't get a stop when they had to. The last two games of the season proved that defense is not quite ready to take that next step, and they definitely don't have the quarterback to do it. Very good, impressive season, but they did not deserve to win. Anybody crying about the referees is just hating.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist. The odd part about the Patriots thing is that the Patriots fans think the league is against them, and now everybody thinks that the league is for them. In their 36 playoff games that they've played since 2001, their opponents have been called. The Patriots have been called for 164 penalties. Their opponents for 166. So it's about dead even over the lifespan of these last 16 years or so.
I get it, but it's just the timeliness of these penalties.
I would say two things. First of all, it's a really bad interference penalty, but we've seen referees put themselves in this position before. In the home venue, they make a kind of questionable call that favors the home team, and everybody thinks the fix is in. What bothers me more about that game, and again, Scott's right, the Jaguars still had an opportunity to win this game, is they called one penalty for 10 yards. Going through an entire NFL game getting called for one penalty for 10 yards is nearly impossible now. That's what bothers me. Not the
You always hear this with winning teams all the time. I heard this about the Steelers in the past. I was even part of that myself before I started to know better. I heard this about the Yankees when they were winning World Series. I heard this about the Bulls when they were winning all this. It's just like this is just a line of hating and crying when a team is really, really good for an extended period of time.
If they did what they had to do,
nobody would be complaining about the refs. You know, there's always flags that go the other way a lot of the time. This is an outlier. But you know what? You get a stop in the fourth quarter. Make a play in the fourth quarter.
Okay, you've made that point already, Scott.
I'm not a Jacksonville.
You're not my agent. I'll say what I want. Okay.
The Jacksonville Jaguars defense had 5 pass interference penalties the entire season. They go out there looking not to get a pass interference penalty. They're conscious of that.
AJ Boye was holding a guy around the friggin' neck. You're going to tell me that's not pass interference?
That was not pass interference down the sidelines, I don't think, personally.
When Boye had his hands around his neck?
Not that play, Scott.
I'm talking about the one at the end of the first half.
Officials blow calls all the time.
But I don't think the officials gifted the Patriots the game. I'm not suggesting that. I do find it quizzical that they got called for one penalty for 10 yards. I thought against the Titans, the Pats got a lot of breaks too. But it's what great teams do. They take advantage of every single break that they get. Not to mention that the Patriots are masterful, and it is Belichick's mastery that they are constantly chipping away at every single yard that they can get, punting, burying you, playing the field position game constantly throughout that game. And what happens? The one time Nortman doesn't fire off a good punt, Amendola takes it 20 yards and sets him up for an easy score. It's just amazing that they are constantly dedicated to chipping away, even when they're losing. They know that the game of inches, to use a tired phrase, is how they win it. And they do it, whether it's a toe drag by Amendola or taking advantage of a penalty or getting a bad punt and returning it 20 yards. It's indicative of how they win so many of these games, Corey, despite the fact that they could have lost many of them in the past as well.
Yeah, you got to give them, and I have no problem giving them credit for that. I just said the timeliness of these penalties is in their favor a lot. But I, you know, you can't take anything away from them. They've obviously shown and proved over the course of the past decade and a half.
Yeah. Well, we'll take a quick look. As a good recap, we all got the Pats game right. We all got the Vikings-Eagles game wrong. We'll come back, talk about Gronk's concussion and more on the Roto Experts. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
We're getting it started. We got it started pretty good here on the Roto Experts Saturday edition. It's going to be the Eagles and Pats, obviously, in Super Bowl 52 in Minnesota. But for the rest of the day here, it's going to be us until 12 noon Eastern. After that, it's a weekend fantasy update with Joe Galina, Mike Florio, and Frank Stanfield. That's 12 to 2 Eastern. From 2 to 4 Eastern, it's the producers with our very own Pete Considori producing this show. He'll be with Kevin Walsh and Chris Bavona. And then from 4 to 6 is Fantasy Gold, also with Kevin Walsh and Tony Sincotta. I know, Scott, you're going to have something coming up tonight at 8 Eastern. Is that correct?
Yes, the Fantasy Hall of Fame Hour, 8 p.m. Yes. Eastern tonight.
Who's going to be on that one with you?
That's going to be from the archives, so it'll be okay. A pleasant surprise.
Okay, good stuff. So listen to Scott.
He doesn't know.
It ain't going to be Corey Parson, that's for sure.
So we'll talk a little bit about Hall of Famers and all that kind of stuff a little bit later.
Don Mattingly.
Because the FSTA awards were handed out this week, so some colleagues and friends and longtime fantasy sports people were honored, so we'll give you an update on a couple of those things. But we got some polls up too. Yeah, Pats are 4.5-point favorites. We want to see what your thoughts are, what your predictions are, whether they cover that, whether the Eagles cover and lose, or whether the Eagles win outright. And also putting up a poll on the Pro Bowl, see if you folks are going to be watching that at all. So a little bit about the game. Which, look, y'all are going to get inundated by information on the Super Bowl in the next week. But it is interesting that Gronk did sit out practice. They said if he was playing this week, he would certainly be out. I think he just continued to monitor this. There's no guarantee, Scott, that he's going to play in the Super Bowl when it's a concussion, because we don't typically know how those progress. Historically, 2 weeks seems to be enough time, but we'll have to keep our eyes on it, obviously.
Yeah, no doubt. I would be checking insideinjuries.com for that. I'm not sure the grade of the concussion, but everybody heals differently, so you can never know for sure. Then again, it's not like the Patriots are forthcoming until they absolutely have to be.
And Corey, he got fined. Barry Church got fined $25,000 for that hit, which is a blatant helmet-to-helmet hit. No way to sugarcoat that one. He deserved the penalty. And Gronk obviously suffered the ill effects of it, but he would not have played this week. It is
this might be a
product to where he came from.
This might be a hot take right here. Okay. But if you're in the AFC Championship game, and Rob Gronkowski is coming up the scene defenseless,
You're going to take a shot? Is that what
I'm going to take a shot. I'm going to take a shot.
Well, what's interesting?
I want to keep it. I don't want it to be. It may be helmet area, but I'm going to make sure I lay the lumber on him. I'll take the 15 yards.
Well, Corey makes a good point, too, because you always hear, like, you know, these people are like average fans and even some of the writers. But when you talk to players, and even Richard Sherman tweeted about this, it's very hard to stop your momentum when you're going for a hit. You know, Sherman was saying on Twitter, and a lot of people, like, you know, opened their eyes about it, about how the only other option was to hit him low beneath the knees. It's very hard to stop your momentum in a game like this. You know, I don't listen to, you know, media types and average fans about this. You know, I've actually spoken to people who play the game, you know, Chris Dolman, who used to work with us, God bless him, Chris. I know you know, went a procedure this week. We're all thinking about you. But
yeah, our prayers
when,
for Chris Dolman.
When that Danny Trevathan made that hit on Devontae Adams, you know, I interviewed and researched a lot of players, and it's very hard to decrease your momentum. People who don't play the game here don't know what it's like, and you have to listen to those who played the game. You just can't watch it on film. So Corey makes an excellent point.
I was going to bring up the point about Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman's basically people complaining about the helmet-to-helmet hit. Richard Sherman said the only other target area is his lower legs. And do you want us to tear up somebody's ACL and have them possibly be a career ender? There's a lot of guys out there that would rather have you. I've heard Chris Carter say this, the Hall of Fame wide receiver, that he would rather somebody hit him in the head than take him out at the legs, because the leg injury could be a career ender. The concussion could, unfortunately,
get you
have
down
longer
the road.
Term effects. Yeah. But in the moment, maybe you're out for a week and you come back in. Now, Corey, to your point, the first text I got from a friend of mine was a similar sentiment about if Gronk doesn't come back for the rest of the game, that penalty was worth it. Now, what I would say to that is I don't think players, as far as I can tell, mete out punishment like that. You know, if it was a Bills game and the Bills are trying to exact revenge, then you start talking about dirty hits and all that kind of stuff. I think Church takes the penalty, he takes the fine, and it is what it is. But you don't regularly see guys hunting Gronkowski or any players for that. Are there players in the past that have head hunting reputations? Yes, but you don't see that as much these days. You know, you see dirty hits from Vontaze Burfict, and he's been meted out punishment for several game suspensions and the like. But you don't regularly see guys trying to take out Gronk. So even if it's a thought process somewhere in some locker room, you don't see it playing out consistently.
No, you don't see that playing out consistently. And I get that and I understand that. But I just think, you know, in that scenario, in that case, if you can knock him out the game, that's big for your team.
Yeah, so, he could have knocked himself out too, though.
That's the risk that you take. Also, I'm just saying, I'm not holding back in that scenario. I want him to feel it.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But you know, it would be difficult for me to say that there was intent for him to do exactly what he set out to do, Scott.
No, I don't think.
Yeah,
it was.
You know, look, it's the way you have to play the game. You know, like Corey was alluding to, it's a very violent game. And, you know, you even see veteran media types saying things like, oh, that was definitely helmet to helmet. He should get fined, et cetera. You know, he's not going out there to hurt Gronkowski. But again, like Corey said, it's the AFC Championship and everything's on the line. And, you know, not that I wanted to see Gronk get hurt or anything, but, you know, it's like, not like we haven't seen Gronk get hurt before in other ways.
Yeah. So, all right. So, there's plenty of time to talk about the game. Maybe we'll talk about it a little later on this show. We're going to be talking about it all week on this network. But a few other big pieces of news that I thought were interesting on the football front, Scott, is Earl Thomas kind of throwing down the gauntlet as far as his contract is concerned. Obviously, there's a lot of moving pieces potentially in Seattle. Richard Sherman and others may or may not get contract extensions. They may see a release. Players may go somewhere else in free agency. But Earl Thomas seems to be the guy that you and I and Corey have discussed on this show as somebody they're going to want to keep around. And Earl Thomas seems to be putting the screws to Seattle right now.
Yeah, you know, I think eventually, as we've seen with us, some other guys like Lynch, et cetera, you know, eventually they'll come to terms. You know, this is all the kind of positioning that you see with all kinds of players, with like Jarvis Landry. One minute he's coming back, the next minute he's not. So, you know, the drama, you know, the agents will plant stuff in the press and stuff like that. You know, they'll bring him back. You know, he's the best free safety in the game. They're going to want to retain him. He's the best center fielder in football. So, you know, I'm really not concerned about him going anywhere else at this point in his career.
Yeah. So, Corey, a week ago, we had Le'Veon Bell possibly leaving the Steelers, Ben retiring. Now, Ben's best friend on the team, Marquise Pouncey, is saying Ben's going to play three more years. The Steelers have progressed with Le'Veon Bell extension talks, and everything's happy now that Todd Haley's out of the picture. How does that happen?
So all it take was for Todd Haley to leave Pittsburgh, and everybody,
yeah.
everybody gathered around, and everybody's singing "Kumbaya." This problem will rear its head in Cleveland in about a year from now. We'll hear about how much people in Cleveland hate Todd Haley. So. Interesting. It looks like an extension could get done, and that's the right thing to do. The Pittsburgh Steelers stand-up organization. This is guys running back playing in the AFC North. You hear how the pads pop in that division. You have to make him a part of what you do as a franchise, and you definitely want to take care of Le'Veon Bell.
So the one thing I would say is, while I was leaning towards him not coming back, I thought the positives, and I wasn't totally positive. If you told me, I was probably 55-60% sure. But the one thing I would say is that because Ben is nearing the very end of his career, you can kind of figure out a way in the cap to squeeze Bell in there for a couple of years and then have him long term, because Ben's probably going to be gone. Now, if Ben sticks around for three more years with Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell getting paid, I don't know what they're going to do, because they're already close to the cap number. They're one of the teams with the fewest dollars available on the salary cap. So it is what it is. I don't know, Scott, your thoughts. It seems like the killer bees may actually stick together for a few more years.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I think that's actually what they want there. You know, you're going to want to keep that core together.
Yeah. It's about it. No other really big news other than the fact that the Super Bowl is 8 days away. So obviously we're looking forward to it. Give us your thoughts out there on Twitter, whether or not you think the Pats are going to cover, the Eagles are going to cover, and how you see that breaking down. Obviously, there's plenty of time to talk about fantasy implications. How are you guys doing in any of your fantasy playoff leagues? Any?
Nothing's going to happen this year.
No, you're done.
Yeah.
No, I'm not playing in any. I'm focusing more on fantasy basketball and getting ready for baseball.
Yeah. Obviously, we'll talk about the Marlins trade with Christian Yelich. We'll talk about Boogie Cousins' injury, which is just brutal. The team's finally coming together, and he tears his Achilles. It looks like he tore his Achilles last night. So we're actually going to talk about that later in the show, and talk about how the Marlins have virtually no major league experience left on that starting team. So we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more football and get to the rest of the stuff after this. Mike, Corey, and Scott back after this. If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product. Second, but Corey wants to bring up a point about the Eagles-Vikings game from last week, the 38-7 blowout where Nick Foles was unbelievable. The atmosphere, I'll say this, it was a blowout and it was kind of an unwatchable second half. I had it on, but the stadium, the noise in the stadium was incredible. For really the entire second half, I had a friend that went, and he said it was just a huge party in the second half and doing the Foles clap and all that kind of stuff. So congrats to the Eagles fans. You know, they get a chance to end this 1960 streak. So, Corey, you had a point to make about that game, and what was it?
Yeah, the Minnesota Vikings, who I think we all had picked in the game, I think they fell victim to what I call Aaron Boone syndrome, where the game the week before was so big, that kind of was like their championship. That was their Super Bowl. You saw how their fans reacted. Obviously, that franchise normally have bad things like that happen against them. And I think they came into the next game almost as if they were spent already from that big emotional win last week. I think the New Orleans Saints would have put up a much better game. But I think that, obviously, Philadelphia deserves it. They played excellent defensively, well coached. But the Vikings were already shot because of the emotions of the prior week.
There's a recent trend in those games, Corey, where in the playoffs, teams that have walk-off touchdown wins,
yeah,
they're the next week they're playing, they're losing. The last five times this has happened, they're losing games by an average of over 20 points.
And
so
there, you
there
go
is
right
something
there.
To that.
Yep.
Obviously, they lose by 31 here. There are other examples of teams winning walk-off games on walk-off touchdown games in recent memory and losing the game the next week by multiple touchdowns. So I'll try and get the specifics of that, but I heard that stat this week, and I think there's something to it. Just the sheer emotion of that game the previous week, how do you harness your energy, go on the road and play? Look, I'm not taking any credit away from the Eagles. The team's been incredible. They're 9-1 at home this season. So it wasn't like they were going to play some chump team. We all thought the Vikings would win, but none of us picked a blowout. We thought it was going to be another tight game, just like they played the previous week.
Yeah, just when that first interception happened with Keenum, you know, you just sense a maelstrom of momentum that was just
maelstrom.
You couldn't, you couldn't hold it off. And what we saw with Case Keenum was we saw the worst of him this past week. It's, you know, he wasn't capable of bringing the team back. And, you know, the secondary just, you know, not only injuries, but they just did not play well. It's, yeah, you know, there is a trend, you know, it happens. But I think if Bill Belichick and the Patriots want to walk off touchdown game the next week, they wouldn't be losing by 31.
I tend to agree with you. I do tend to agree with you. So, Corey, do you think that that game can change the Vikings' opinion on what they do this offseason in relation to Keenum?
You know, I had another point to make, but I'm going to leave it alone. Because I think of a walk-off win in the following week performance that was ugly from the NFC playoffs a couple years ago. But I digress. I think the situation in Minnesota
probably didn't involve Dallas.
Yeah. No, it did not, Scott.
Yeah. Well, we knew that.
I think the situation in Minnesota is real interesting now, because I feel like if Mike Zimmer never really bought into the Case Keenum, and I think now he has opportunity to say, you know what, you see, I told you so. They didn't commit to him in the offseason. All three of those quarterbacks out there are free agents. Something tells me Teddy Bridgewater is the favorite to win it over. I think he's the guy that I kind of think that they want to see what he has out there. So obviously you're going to have a new OC in town, and we'll see how the new offensive coordinator puts that together. But this team has a quarterback issue right now. They got a quarterback issue. They got a running back who is running, but he is not 100% healthy. Probably will not be until after training camp. So I think we see a situation where Lat Murray is back. Obviously, Dalvin Cook remains the man. Bridgewater behind center. And I think Jerick McKinnon is out of town.
Yeah, McKinnon is a free agent, so I think he's going to find himself elsewhere.
Jerick McKinnon can be a plus side of a timeshare. That's how good I think he is.
Yeah, if you put him behind a consistent look, last year is when he got a ton of carries, and it was one of the worst offensive lines in recent memory, because they were not only were they bad going into the season, they got horribly injured throughout the year. They were playing with like their fifth left tackle at the end of the year in 2016, And how was it hard? It was going to be difficult for any running back to be efficient, Hall of Famer or scrub. So I think Corey makes an interesting point. If Jerick McKinnon found himself in a good position, Scott, he could be impactful. I see him in the same mold as like a T.J. Yeldon. And if T.J. Yeldon got more carries in Jacksonville or more touches in Jacksonville, I think we'd see consistently how effective he can be. In fact, we saw him being pretty good in the playoffs.
Both of those players are just as good as Tevin Coleman.
He said Scott. Yeah, so anyway, you know, that T.J. Yeldon, that's a good comparison because, you know, he's not Alvin Kamara necessarily. He's not quite right. That talented, but I don't think this guy could be a feature back necessarily. But, you know, on the right side of a platoon, like Corey was saying, you know, I think there's something to be said there. You know, I've heard some top-notch analysts and Corey saying that you know that he might look good on the Giants.
Shot. This is unbelievable.
Yes, I see
that.
I think no. I understand where he's going with it, but Mike, I'm gonna be the bigger person here. I think the New York Giants could be a fatter spot.
Yeah.
But what I will say also, I both of these players can be just as good in the right system as Tevin Coleman is in Atlanta.
Yeah, Darrell Bevell's name has actually come up in the Vikings conversation. So I think he made a point earlier that's right on, because it's going to be important to see who the OC is before they start figuring out exactly who they might want at quarterback. To be honest, I think waiting on the Teddy Bridgewater thing, I don't have any problem with them re-signing him and having him in the QB room. But I think waiting on Bridgewater and suspecting that the Vikings have been waiting for him to reemerge, I don't think that's the right point, because Teddy Bridgewater
wasn't. It needs to be another quarterback in there with him. It needs to be another. Well, yeah. You got to think
he wasn't tearing up the league before he got hurt.
He had North Turner, who shortened the playbook on him. So yeah. North Turner hamstrung him. So we haven't really seen what he is.
I think you can argue that one both ways. I understand what you're saying, but it would be difficult for me to count on Teddy Bridgewater considering the seriousness of the injury. And
he couldn't be the only quarterback.
Yeah, exactly right. So we'll see. But I do think they might bring Keenum back, but it is probably dependent on who that new offensive coordinator will be. So
yeah, I mean, you look at the landscape of free agent quarterbacks, it's disgusting. At least you know Keenum can probably get you to the playoffs if he's surrounded with the right talent, because everything was a perfect storm for him this year. He had a running game, he had wide receivers, he had a tight end, he had a defense that gave him good field position. So he's not the type of guy where you're going to carry the team to the playoffs, but if you put him in the right situation, he can win ball games. We saw that he does have something of a gunslinger mentality, which can hurt him. But you know, look at there are about 15 quarterbacks you can really say you're comfortable with in the NFL.
Yeah, it's usually right around that number. You have both championship losing teams that have question marks at the quarterback position and may very well be moving on from the quarterback that got them there. So we will continue to see that. So a couple minutes on the Pro Bowl. You guys watch the skills competition at all this week? The dodgeball and the kick-tac-toe?
By accident, I saw a video of kick-tac-toe, and by accident, I saw Michael Thomas win the hands competition. By accident.
The kick-tac-toe, you know you were watching the hands competition.
I was watching. Whatever. Mike, I can't.
You started in the first segment, and you lit the candle, and now it's going to be this for the next 3 hours.
You lit the candle. Don't even try to play innocent here. Look.
He did.
Corey watches Senior Bowl practices. Of course, he watches the skilled competition.
I watched Senior Bowl.
I didn't bother at all. I don't know what happened whatsoever, and I don't care.
I think that's how most people feel. I did happen to watch it. What the funniest part about it is how uninterested the announcers are. Sean McDonough and Matt Hasselbeck just made fun of the whole thing for about an hour. It was like, they had kick-tac-toe. They did dodgeball, which Jarvis Landry won, that helped win the AFC, the dodgeball competition. It's all just kind of a ridiculous show, but it's only a 1 hour.
I want to see Marcel Darius play dodgeball.
Yeah, they had a whole bunch of guys in there going crazy. The players had fun with it. You think they're annoyed that it's in Orlando and not Hawaii, Corey?
I would imagine so, especially with a lot of NFL players being from the state of Florida. It's like, are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. They probably drove there from their hometown.
Exactly. So, they probably drove there from their hometown. Yep.
So,
well, they're in Minnesota, so.
Will you guys, it's true, will you guys watch the Pro Bowl at all?
No, I haven't watched the Pro Bowl game in years.
Yeah, I usually throw it on in the background, but it's a tough watch. It's just,
it really
impossible
is.
It's an impossible sport to go halfway on. I would almost rather them play flag.
I was going to say they should play flag
Madden
football
with it.
Mm-hmm. or Madden, they'd be more into it.
Oh my God.
So, well, anyway, I put that poll up there on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. Want to see if you folks are watching. It's not looking good. Early returns, or it's not looking good. People are going to watch this Pro Bowl. But some of you have it on in the background. That's kind of where I'm at. So we will talk a little bit about we'll review our exact predictions from last week and see how close we came in the final segment of the first hour. In hour number two, we're going to talk to Emory Hunt. He's coming on in about 20 minutes. He's going to talk to us. He's down in Mobile, Alabama this week. So he's going to give us some Senior Bowl takeaways, what players have flashed and who may have hurt themselves during the week. But we're going to talk to him. He's at F-Ball Game Plan on Twitter. We'll talk to him in about 20 minutes. And Bismarcky will play us out here as we come back for the final segment of the hour number one on the Roto Experts.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone, we promise. No weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
I mean, we were young when the song came out, but it's like a song that we remember from our youth. Would you agree, gentlemen?
Yeah. I was very young. I'll throw that in there. Yeah, this might have been before my time, but obviously Earth, Wind, and Fire, Do You Remember, is the jam.
Well, stuff like this is timeless, though.
That's I agree. That's my wife's favorite wedding song. So we go to a wedding. She's I got to dance to that one. So,
did you get married in September?
I know. She just has always liked it as a song that she likes to dance to. So when it plays at a wedding, I got to dance.
That means Mike has to leave the bar and find his way to the dance floor.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Got to stop pounding and
there you go.
IPAs, and I got to go to the dance floor.
There you go,
so,
right there.
that's funny. So shout out to my wife. So predictions from last week. Scott had the Pats as a 4-point winner, so he sort of gets the victory on this one. Corey had the Pats up a 1-point winner. I had the Pats covering, actually, 23-14. Scott had it 20-16, so the score shifts a little bit, but he nailed the 4-point spread. So I had the Pats covering, although I'll say this. I did not have any action on it. I would not have gone with that. The way I would have gone with that bet, had I placed one, is I would have tried to tease the Pats down. Unfortunately, I don't know what I would have done. I didn't know really how I felt about that Vikings victory. I don't think I would have teased it with that. I might have like teased the over up or something like that. In any event, Scott, nice job by you. And
thank you.
Vikings, you had the Vikings 17-15. Corey had the Vikings 20-16. I had the Vikings 17-13. Clean us out.
Nowhere close.
Because we were very close. Even close. I could not have predicted that the game would have gone off the rails quite like that. But so, I don't know. I haven't done well in the playoffs. I really haven't.
I've been terrible in the playoffs.
Scott, you've been a little better from what I remember, but I've lost a bunch of these close games. I think we all had the Saints, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did.
So, I mean, it's a loss, but, like, how could you possibly beat yourself up over that? You know, you're mad if you lose money on it, but it's not like you were wrong. Do you know what I mean? In that sense, I think, Scott, you got into it on Twitter with one of our listeners about that game, and he started to, like, peacock after the game about, I told you the Vikes would win. It's like, look, you know, you can't be like Mr. Prognosticator after you win on the most miraculous touchdown in the history of the playoffs. So I get it.
Made him feel good. I made his week.
I know. Like you said, to the victors go, like I always say, to the victors go the spoils, but I'm not going to beat myself up for getting the Saints game wrong. But yeah, I'll take the big L on thinking the Vikings were going to beat the Eagles. Just didn't see it going that way. That's the deal. And more and more people, I think, are going to watch this Pro Bowl tonight. As this poll continues, we're starting to creep up into like a 45% range where some people are definitely going to watch and other people are going to have it on in the background. So
that game is tonight?
No, I meant tomorrow night.
Oh, Senior Bowl is today, right? Yeah.
Senior Bowl is today, which we'll talk to about with Emery Hunt in the next
Warriors and Celtics tonight, too. Warriors and Celtics
Warriors
tonight.
Warriors Celtics.
Nice. Hey, Corey, your Knicks won last night. How about that?
I haven't been a Knicks fan since the 90s, Scott. You remember you have been a Warriors fan since last week. Scott, you remember how you was a Jet fan in the 50s? I was a Knicks fan in the 90s. Same concept.
Knicks fan 5 minutes ago.
It's a good way to close out hour number one. It's been like this, folks. We'll
Dallas
come back
fan back when they
two.
Used to win in the 80s.
And Emery Hunt will join us in about 10 minutes. We'll be back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network after this.